Hello everybody, welcome to episode number 16 of the Game Changers podcast. My name is Quinn Sajusa, and it's a pleasure to be here with you, as always. Episode number 16 features a young man with a passion for youth empowerment. In fact, so much so that if I were to go into all the things that he does for youth empowerment, we'll be stuck in the intro forever. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to Ajani Lebon.
Hello, Ajani. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, you're on with me, so I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I can say that for sure. Okay, so tell people a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
All right, well, thanks for that, Quinn. So let me say that I'm a young person, young man from the community of Miku. I attended the Vufor Comprehensive Secondary School, of course, after the Miku Primary School. Then I then attended the Safa Lewis Community College. Throughout my secondary schooling, I've been more of the laid back, you know, the typical young person who just likes to chill and cool out with his friends.
Right.
However, to the back end of my secondary schooling, I was introduced to the National Youth Council and the youth movement. And from there, you know, my entire life has really been geared towards the development of young people, improving the environment for young people, and ensuring that youth have the best opportunity to thrive and to excel within society.
Got you.
My entire ethos is that young people are not just the tomorrow, you know. They're not just the leaders of tomorrow, but they're the present, and we need to create the environment for them to rise up to the challenge.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, you mentioned that you're in youth empowerment and youth involvement. How did you get into this space? So, you said you were introduced to it. How did you get introduced to it?
Right. So, it was in Form 5.
Right.
Interestingly, I was never interested in the student council. So, like I said, I was the typical secondary school male, pulling out at lunchtime under the calabash tree with his partners, kicking off, you know, joking around, right, having a good time. And it happened that during the summer vacation, my mom was approached to register, you know, someone into a National Youth Council camp. And, you know, she brought it to me and she's like, hey, what do you think about this opportunity? And I never wanted to, because I'm like, yo, this is summertime. I need to cool out with the pan.
Kawe more. To,
you know, be, yeah, man, kawe and just free up. So I never was interested in doing that. However, she actually registered me without me knowing. And then after she did it, she let me know. And I was like, so pissed. But I still ended up going, and it was actually at that camp, getting the exposure in understanding leadership, youth leadership, the importance of being involved in one's community, the importance of volunteerism and giving back to society, the National Youth Council and the youth movement. I was really inspired to become a part of this, and it was later on in that year, I was privileged to be elected to the National Student Council. I spent some time on the NYC student branch, which is the National Students Council. Mm-hmm. And most of what I started doing was really to bring together students and get students to share ideas and to connect. And this is essentially how I got introduced into this work. And from there, it has just been, you know, opportunities to increase and expand my reach and to connect with young people across several spaces. And I'm really, really humbled by all the opportunities, but also seeing how this journey has shaped me, and I see how similar opportunities can shape other young people.
I like that. I love that a lot. So you said you were introduced to the National Youth Council in Form 5. How many years ago is that?
So that would be in 2020. So I believe it would have been in Form 4 when I was introduced. So the camp was you know, the summer vacation till you go into Form 5. So right. I was in Form 4, moving to Form 5. Mm-hmm. So that would have been in 2013.
Okay, cool. Cool. So about...
That's about 9 years.
Yeah, about that. Nice. Nice, nice. So tell me of the various organizations, the various youth organizations that you are currently a part of. Because I know, you know, you have youth empowerment at heart. But tell me of the various organizations that you are currently a part of. And you can break each of them down if you have the time.
Okay. So at the community level, I'm currently serving as more or less an advisor to the Miko Youth and Sport Council.
Nice.
Which is the community body or the youth serving body which coordinates and brings together youth organizations in the community of Miku. I was formerly the president of that council, the interim president. I also serve as a direct liaison or support to the student branch of the National Youth Council.
Got you.
Formerly was the second vice president with direct relation to the student branch, but I still support them. At the national level, I am the interim, the chairperson of the interim committee of the National Youth Council. And at the Commonwealth level, I am the vice chairperson for advocacy and partnerships.
Wow.
And the of the Commonwealth Student Association.
Wow, you seem like you have a lot on your plate, you know, for a young man. How do you balance, you know, these things and life in general?
Well, I can say it's taking things a day at a time.
Got you.
Because, to be honest, every day you wake up and it's a new environment, a new circumstance.
Yeah.
You have new situations to deal with. And I must say, I would not have been able to manage had I not had a strong support system, such as family and friends, close relatives. But most importantly, you know, the Heavenly Father, because Amen. I do consider myself a highly spiritual
nice.
Individual. I was within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and everything has been, in fact, everything that I have experienced, you know, the entire journey, I say, is testament to God's work being fulfilled within me and trusting Him with the process so that, you know, even though along the way you do feel some sort of doubt or you do feel discouraged, you know, you always go back to that core belief that, you know, everything is working towards the good of those who love Him and keep His commandments.
Amen.
So essentially that's what keeps me going, and it encourages me to remain involved, because I believe that there is a positive outcome. In fact, there is value in the journey that I'm going through.
Nice. I like that a lot. Now, you just mentioned that you know, you are practicing Seventh-day Adventists. What role do you think the church plays in developing young minds, I guess, young minds like yours, to become the person you have become and the person that you are becoming?
Right. Well, let me say that I don't consider myself a practicing Adventist. I consider myself a raised Adventist. In fact, I still believe in many of the doctrines.
Okay,
of
got
the
you.
Church,
I understand.
And I do still see myself as a member
right.
of the congregation that I had attended. However, I think the church, in many ways, in the programming available for young people, children, prepares young people to develop a sense of identity
mm-hmm.
And a strong value system that will allow for them to be able to discern, particularly in a world where there are many distractions. So growing up and having the opportunity to go through the adventure, the Pathfinder, mm-hmm. the Master Guide clubs, you know, attending Master Guide camp, you know, doing drills on 5 a.m. in the morning, waking up to the drills on the meat
right.
court, you know, not tying, and many of those things that help to build and nurture character. I see it showing up now within life, and the importance of those skills and that exposure, I think, really helps for young people to be prepared. Of course, I have my critique, and this is why I may not necessarily consider myself a practicing Adventist.
Right.
However, I do see many of those early opportunities as fundamental in shaping my thoughts and who I am today.
Love that. I like that. You know, and I'm seeing, you know, when you do these things as a child, you probably don't believe or you don't understand, you know, where they're leading. But it's only in your adult life or your more mature life then you start seeing, you know, how they were beneficial. And our parents knew what they were doing, you know, when they enrolled us in these type of programs. So I like that. That's really interesting and commendable. Okay, so we spoke about the role of the church, but what about the role of the youth organizations you are part of? What do you think, why are these organizations important in today's society?
Well, let me tell you, that is such an important question. I really love this question because it really speaks to the core of the existence of youth organizations. At several levels, it's important. I would say, firstly, our society, in many ways, either inadvertently or deliberately promotes a sense of individualism.
Mm.
So, within a classroom setup, the student who is a top performer or, you know, the most academically inclined,
right,
generally keeps the knowledge to themselves, you know, doesn't see it as a necessity to assist those who are a bit more slower. It's like there is that constant race to perform, or there's that constant need. Okay. Yeah, so in many ways, the society we are in, whether it is within the school system, you find the most academically inclined tends to hoard information. In the financial system, the higher class tends to remain among higher class. If you look at settlements, you can clearly differentiate a Kapa state from a Grozile town based on where the most affluent people choose to live. So within the financial system, or within, of course, among social classes, you find that there is that disparity, and you really find the more affluent seeing it as a necessity to improve the livelihoods of those who are less fortunate. And within the world of work, it's similar. If you know you don't work in an establishment that promotes, you know, a team approach to work, or a team approach to solving tasks and issues, people generally just prefer to just be on their own to be able to see for themselves, and not necessarily seeing it necessary to improve those who may not be best able to deliver. So for the most part, youth organizations serve to encourage young people to view it from a different standpoint, not necessarily from the individual standpoint, but the collective standpoint, that we as members of society have a direct responsibility to contribute towards improving society. It is not the role of the politicians. It is not the role of the affluent within our society. It is not the role of the most educated within society. We have a role to play. And youth organizations, in developing programs, in advocating on behalf of young people, in providing opportunities for young people, youth organizations in many ways facilitate that. So that's one of it. The other thing is that youth organization also helps to promote that sense of critical thinking among young people, that young people who are involved in those organizations have the opportunity to express their needs, or to So to fill the need, so if a young person is a member of a sports organization, you're generally a member because you value sports. You value the importance of promoting sports, whether it is for healthy lifestyles, fitness, etc. And because you have this particular appreciation for sports, you are better able to identify what some of the gaps are. And if in case those gaps are not present nationally, if in case those gaps are present nationally, if in case authorities are not working assiduously towards filling those gaps, then as a young person, you're able to identify those gaps and you can act on that, or you can be an advocate to speak up about some of those issues. So it really forces that critical thinking. So that's critical thinking. It promotes that collectiveness as opposed to the individualism of within society. And then I would say, to a great extent, it promotes a sense of independence. There's a term called youth agency, which means young people understanding that they are empowered, they have the necessary skills to be able to improve their life circumstances.
Game Changers proudly supports Kids Health Creative, a publishing house encouraging children ages 4 to 12 to live healthy lifestyles all while having good, clean fun. Get their latest book, Be Smart, at 10% off when you use promo code QUINNST at checkout. That's QUINNST at checkout. Get yours today. Hello everybody, I hope you're enjoying the episode. This episode was made possible through a platform called Riverside FM. It's a platform that I've grown to love, and it really does justice to creators. Unlike Zoom or other platforms, it records content locally and then uploads it to the cloud, so you have a seamless video. If you're a creator and looking to get into this space, this is the platform for you. Click the link down below to get started today. Want access to all things Game Changers? Here's what to do. Visit our website at www.changers758.myshopify.com. Get access to the latest podcasts. Check out our weekly chess moves. Get yourself some neat merch. And so much more. We look forward to seeing you. Log on today. That's beautiful. So we see that youth organizations build, or at least try to build, well-rounded individuals and good contributors to our society. Will you agree with that statement? Definitely, yes, I like that. So I know that you, I think you said it as well. You serve as country head for HTEC Management Solutions. Tell me a little bit about that. What is that really?
Right. So HTEC, we generally pronounce it as HTEC, is a training and development human resources consultancy. So HTEC stands for Human Resources, Training and Development, Entrepreneurship and Coaching. And essentially, our purpose is to promote a business environment in St. Lucia and in the wider Caribbean, because we operate in St. Lucia, Barbados, Antigua, and Jamaica, to promote a people-centered business environment where businesses recognize that their most important assets are their people, and you don't just generally you can't just build a business. You really need to focus on building your people who will then build a business. We most importantly see the need for businesses to be a bit more in tune with the individual needs of their employees. So introduce processes, systems that ensure that businesses are in tune with those needs. And similarly, we provide coaching to leaders who would require to get insight or at least a perspective on how they can be a bit more of a leader who understands how to tap into the people potential. Because many times you have leaders who are very great at managing systems. However, leadership requires a certain level of empathy, understanding emotional intelligence, and a sense of team building or a sense of personability to be able to connect with people.
Yes, I agree with that. So you basically provide HR for businesses without a actual HR department. Am I getting it correct? Or do you help HR departments as well?
Great question. So we do both. We're open to assisting businesses have an HR department, but maybe willing to outsource a particular skill, right? Or outsource a particular service. Because HR departments, many HR departments, particularly in Tenusha, are rigid. They focus mainly on payroll. They focus mainly on employee relations, some of those basic core services. However, there are other areas in relation to training and development, coaching, systems that allow for you to understand your people a bit better or engage your people, people engagement, culture change, culture shift. Many of those things are generally outsourced or can be outsourced. And that's what we do for businesses with HR department. And businesses, of course, without HR department, we can serve to be able to provide some possibilities.
Nice. I think that's definitely needed on St. Lucia, especially people with smaller businesses. So not these big corporations with thousands upon thousands of dollars of money. Some of them almost millions. But, you know, the smaller businesses who can use that type of aid or assistance. So I definitely believe that's an important thing. And I like what you guys are doing. I love that. All right. So we're moving on. I know that you were named a Queen's Young Leader in 2017. Tell us about that. You know, how did that come to being?
Right. So the Queen's Young Leader Award came through a 4-year. So the Queen's Young Leader program was a 4-year program. And that program sought to identify young people, more or less young people who are working toward change within their societies, agitating for change, developing programs, leading organizations, seeking to create positive change within their society. And at the time when I was awarded that. In fact, it was a very interesting story that I was on a bus headed to. There was a visit sometime about Prince Harry into St. Lucia, and he was meeting some youth organizations at Pigeon Island. And I was a member at that time. I was a member of the student council because, you know, my work at that time was really advocating for student rights, ensuring that education remains accessible, affordable to young people, and that young people have equal opportunity to thrive within our environment, within the school system. So I was attending that function. It was on the bus when I got the call from the UK to say that, you know, I won the award because it was an application process. And I mean, I attended the event with Prince Harry, knowing that I, in the next year, would have the opportunity to meet with the Queen Elizabeth, to which I was able to receive that award. But the entire program was really life-changing. In fact, it really focused on coaching. We were attached to mentors and went through a rigid training and development, a 1-year program where we spent 2 weeks in the UK in meeting with business professionals and meeting with various organizations to really understand the environment within the UK for business and youth development. And it culminated with receiving that award at Buckingham Palace, which, I mean, it in many ways did provide a platform for
what I'm doing. Nice, I like that. So, okay, well, you said that it provided a platform, but what other ways did that information impact, you know, who you are today, that program in particular?
Well, a big part of it also is the network. You know, the fact that it in every year, 60 young people were identified across the Commonwealth. And the Commonwealth is 53 member states. So I was able to, within my year, connect with 59 exceptional young people across the world, from the Caribbean to the Pacific, right? And, you know, building that network, learning from other young people, seeing that the challenges that you go through within your own space, it's not just limited to you, but there are other young people all across the world who are having those same challenges. And learning that, being able to just touch base and connect with them, but also the exposure. And I say for a lot of young people in St. Lucia, we have exceptional young people. We have young people who have the potential, who have the skill set to make waves, to be able to generate significant change in other parts of the world within society and at different levels. However, the difference is not many of our young people are provided the exposure, have been given opportunities to travel, to attend forums and workshops and receive those opportunities. So the exposure is a major, major thing that I think would have helped me and for other young people. If they are given more of those opportunities, I see that they can expand their reach and
like
be able
that.
To reach their potential.
Yes, for sure. You know, and not just in St. Lucia, but I think in the Caribbean in general, you know, opportunity, not that there are no opportunities, because I mean, you made use of the little that you had, but the opportunities are few and far between. I think they appeal to certain segments or certain skill sets, so it's not as broad-based as it could be. So I agree with that, what you're saying, and I believe that, you know, with your influence, we can do a lot more, and we can grow a lot more. So I agree with that, and I like where you come from. I like where you come from. And continue the good work. Continue the good work in that regard, for sure. Now, I know you, correct me if I'm wrong, are you currently a podcaster or were you a podcaster?
I was still considering myself a podcaster. In fact, I received an invitation. Someone actually still reached out to be on one of my episodes. I did take a break for personal reasons. I felt that last year, so I launched the podcast during COVID. Within 2020, I launched it in 2021, and the entire year it was really, really a great experience. But then going into this year, a lot of things changed. Mm-hmm. I got new opportunities, you know, and with that I really thought about let me ensure that I have certain things in place. And then, of course, the time can always go towards developing a podcast. So that's not
really okay. Nice. But you said that experience was a good one. So tell the people a little bit about what your podcast is about. You know, what it's themed about.
Great. So my podcast is called the Leading Optimist Podcast. It is a podcast that seeks to break down the concept of optimism into basic language in terms of understanding optimism from the lens of everyday life. You know, basic things that we can do on a daily basis within our life in terms of how we think, how we act, you know, what we say, to improve how we experience life. And it came through, you know, going to 2020 and realizing that many young people were going through a difficult time, you know, being home within the lockdown, having to figure out, you know, how you're going to manage your mental space, you know, being confined in a space for so long, seeing that many people would have, you know, lost their jobs and been going through some very tough financial periods. I really just thought, hey, I have a perspective on this that I can share, in that I generally think that optimism, people think that optimism is many times false, that, you know, who are you to always, why are you always so happy, or is it possible for you always to be happy? But optimism is not the absence of challenges or issues, or it's not that you're not going to wake up on days and feel depressed. No, optimism is understanding that whenever you do feel a certain way, there is a trigger, there is always a pivot that can bring you back to where you feel good, or bring you back to a position that makes you feel healthy. So optimism, in a sense, is the sense or the belief in a possibility, looking forward to something, looking forward to something being improved, or a higher goal, something to aspire towards. It's not necessarily a state of mind. Yes, it is a state of mind, but it is a process, in a sense.
I do agree with that. So we look forward to hearing more about that podcast. I look forward to being a guest on your podcast one of those days, for sure. We are both optimists. We are both optimists.
I'll make a note of that.
So I look forward to that.
I'll make a note of that.
Lovely. I like that, man. Okay, so we are wrapping up this segment of the interview. How can people get in contact with you, Ajani?
Right. Well, I can be reached on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My handle is my name, Ajani Lobon, on Instagram and Twitter. And I can be emailed at ajani.lobon.
Lovely. And we'll leave the links to your social media list down below, so people can get in contact with you as easy as possible. So we'll leave that there for sure. Okay. To wrap up this segment, tell me, what advice will you give to somebody who wants to be in the spaces that you are in? You know, who wants to become a Queen's Young Leader, somebody wants to serve on youth councils and that type of space, somebody who is aspiring to be just like Ajani. What would you say to them?
Right. So what I'd say is, most importantly, be yourself and fall in love with the process of being yourself. Fall in love with the process of getting to know and understand who you are, you know, and in doing so, you don't necessarily have to fall in line with anyone else. You don't necessarily have to fit within a mold that society has sought to create, or that other people, or fall under other people's expectations. But in the process of knowing and becoming yourself, you become comfortable and you're able to identify opportunities that will benefit you, not benefit others. So one of the things I remember saying, and it's something that sticks with me, is that opportunities are so important, and we must never downplay how one door of opportunity, or one door to an opportunity, will create another door, or will lead to another door to opportunities.
Yes.
Opportunities create opportunities, and young people must not be afraid of uncertainty. Young people must not be afraid of taking uncertain steps in taking risks, because I believe that in risk taking it becomes easier in that all uncertain steps
yes.
lead to greater certainty. And at some point along your journey, because you've decided to take those risks and you've decided to take those opportunities, you get into spaces where things really just start to clear up. And the more you can do is to keep working and to keep pushing. But within all that, remain true to who you are, remain true to your values and your principles, and you ensure that in everything that you do, that your values are aligned to your engagements, the people that you are connected to, and the work that you're
Lovely.
Involved in.
That's great advice. That's great advice. And any young person listening to this would be wise to take that advice and apply to their lives so that they can become leaders like you are and you are becoming, because I expect bigger things from you eventually. And they can apply it to themselves. And I like what you said earlier on, you know, do it for you. Don't do it for anybody else, or don't do it to become like anybody else. Do it for you. And you would see the impact it has on your life. So I love that. That's amazing. That's impactful. All right. So our chess move for today comes from the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. This book is an amazing book. You know, it really breaks down the habits that people who do amazing things have. So if you want to become one of those people, then obviously you have to read a book. So the chess move for this week is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'll leave it down below as usual and make sure to get a copy of this week's chess move. Again, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Okay, Ajani. So we're moving on to what I call the more fun side of the interview, right? So we're going to our quick hitter questions. These questions are light-hearted questions. These are questions we tell a little bit more about Ajani, the man, outside of, you know, this guy who does so many things or is, you know, on so many boards and these type of things. It'll tell a little bit more about you personally. So are you ready for this? You know, we're going to hear about you, Ajani.
Yeah, man.
Are you ready? Okay, let's go.
Yeah, man.
All right. So yeah, question number one, and we ask everybody this, because it's mostly young people we have on, so we ask everybody this. Apple or Android?
Android for now.
You don't have any wise?
I don't have any.
I mean,
you know,
if you have one, then you can give it. If you don't have one, then we understand.
Oh, well, I mean, it's more just the flexibility.
Good answer. Question number two. So you are invited to dinner with 3 people from history. Now, history could have been yesterday, so you could invite somebody from yesterday. Tell me, who are you inviting to dinner with you? Who are you taking to dinner with you?
Hmm. Who am I going to invite?
History.
3 people. All right.
Okay.
I get to Nelson Mandela.
Uh-huh.
Malcolm X and Sir Alex Ferguson.
Are you a Manchester United fan?
100%.
If you have Fergie on your list, you are definitely a Man U fan. So, all right, so I get it. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So our final question: who would you like to see on Game Changers?
I like to see on Game Changers? I would like to see Optronic.
So we actually had Optronics here. So yes, we spoke to the operations manager of Optronics, Anna K. Budu. We haven't had Keegan on it yet. Maybe we can have Keegan as well. but we definitely had Optronics. So just in case, give an extra, extra name.
All right, let me give another one. Julian Alfred.
That would be an amazing guess. Yes, yes. I can do that 100%. Julian Alfred. So we look forward to having Julian Alfred. And we'll say that Ajani sent us. Eh? I'll just let her know that Ajani sent us. So, we should get through. All right, man. Ajani, I do thank you for coming on. This was an amazing interview. You are an amazing young man. I want to say, continue the good work. I look forward to seeing even bigger things from you. You are indeed a young leader, and we need more of us in society. So continue your good work, and I look forward to hearing big things from you.
No, thank you very much, Quinn, for the invitation to be here. I really value this. Just you reaching out, and I really want to encourage you to continue to provide the opportunity and the platform for the work of young people to reach a greater.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Okay, guys, this has been Game Changers episode 16. Thank you for coming on. As usual, stay hungry. Bye-bye.